great to have you all here this morning. And if you're visiting or you haven't been for a while, we're in a series that we've called Chased by Grace. And it's from the little book of Ruth in the Old Testament. And we're going to move ahead speedily with it this morning. I remember as a young boy that often when someone came to call that you hadn't been expecting to call, it was not unusual for mother to say the phrase, and I'm sure that some of you probably have used this phrase yourself, some of you would have even sung it, to have used the phrase, if I'd known you were coming, I'd have, there you go, you see? There you go. It was a song, I don't know if you know this, it was a song that was originally sung by Gracie Fields. And it spoke of the disappointment, of course, of not having anything much to offer the person who had unexpectedly come to call. But today, it's in complete contrast to that we're going to think about what I'm calling grace in the field, in the person of Boaz, who would offer us, as he offered Ruth, because he's a picture of the Lord Jesus, that which would never be a disappointment ever to us. This is grace gone viral. Grace in the field. Not just amazing grace, but abundant grace. Not just scraping through, but actually passing with flying colours. Not just about starting a new life, which is where we were last time, but actually discovering a new love, which is where we'll be today. Not just saving grace. I come to Christ for forgiveness. Oh, thank God for saving grace. But sanctifying grace. I come to God for the strength and supply I need each day of my life. And so you may think that you know everything about grace. So here's a little thought to take home with you if you remember nothing else. Grace means there's nothing to earn, but there is still much to learn. And that's really the heart of what this passage is about. For here is Ruth, who's trusted herself previously to the Lord. That's why Boaz says she's put herself under the protection and the refuge of God's wing. And now she gets a lesson, and all of us get the same lesson through her, on just what it all means in terms of living with God's undeserved favor upon our lives. It's a beautiful place to be because he's a great God to know, and this is a marvelous lesson to learn. Grace in the field is what I'm calling it. Grace in the field, for it pictures here how Boaz treats Ruth, and the story of her life is how God in Christ treats us. And so it becomes the story of every true believer's life. Grace in the field. And so let's just look first of all then, as we kind of move through this, let's look at the pursuit of grace. Someone has said that before he married, Boaz was ruthless. But the truth is, when you look at it, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he pictures, Boaz was a man of grace. And though Ruth had gone out in verse 2, you remember, Ruth went out to the fields to pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes she would find favor. It soon became apparent that in Boaz, favor was following her. And so she says later on in verse 10, why have I found favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? She went looking for grace, and in going looking for grace, she discovered something more wonderful, that grace was out looking for her. The pursuit of grace. Isn't that the nature of grace? Isn't that the nature of God, that he comes looking for us before ever we think about looking for him? And the great thing here is, of course, it wasn't an accident that Ruth happened to find herself in the field of Boaz. God was at work. This was not an act of serendipity. This was an act of divine activity. It wasn't a bit of luck. It was an act of grace. I love what Proverbs 16 tells us in verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And those who believe in luck have yet to realize what a great and mighty plan God has for their life. It's the pursuit of grace. And I love the way that it's put in verse 3, as it turned out. Doesn't that sound rather routine? As it turned out. You know, Ruth happened to find herself in Boaz's field. This field of grace. As though that was by chance. Sounds pretty routine. It sounds pretty ordinary. It sounds pretty understated. And yet how often it's in the little things that our destiny turns. You remember when Moses' mother put him for safety in that little ark made of bulrushes, pushed him down the River Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter happened to be out at that time bathing, and she caught sight of the little ark and pulled it in and called it over. And then what happened? When she looked in, it was the cry of the little baby that touched her heart. She took Moses in, didn't she? Brought him up as her own son. And it wasn't just her own joy that was being thought about here. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. So often it's the little things, isn't it, whereby we discover that though we've not been thinking that we've been out looking for God, He's been chasing us in His grace. This is the pursuit of grace. Maybe the Lord brought you here this morning simply so that you could discover what a marvelous God He is. So that you can actually come into the favor of His grace for your life. You didn't know Anne was going to be here and hear the story of what God's been doing in her and through her. Maybe that's touched you. Maybe there was a song that we've sung. But God is out to chase us down in His grace. Because providence is the hand of God in the glove of history. And I want to tell you that if God can position a woman like Ruth, a Moabite woman, a woman who came from a land that was under God's curse, and position her in a new land with a new family in the field of His choosing, one of marvelous grace, then God can do it for us too. Can He not? The pursuit of grace. Grace rejects no one and it receives all, but it can receive none who reject it. To those who received Him, said Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So there's the pursuit of grace as she stands in the field of grace. And there's the presence of grace too, because we're told in verse 4, just then, again, you see, just to remind us, it's the Lord's hand in this. Just then, as Ruth was in the field, she didn't know whose field it was. She didn't know everything that was going to unfold in her life as a consequence of choosing this field. Boaz arrived. The great thing about grace is that it doesn't just give us provisions, it actually meets us in person. And so Boaz arrives. And we're here this morning because we know that whenever and wherever God's people meet, He is present amongst us in order to make His presence felt. Isn't that true? We're not meeting simply because we have to meet. We meet because we want to meet. And we know that even where two or three of us are gathered together in His name, the Lord is present in our midst. Bring His grace. Bring His encouragement. Just as Boaz is present, brought blessing, not a burden to the field here. For that's what grace does. That's why we're told, as Boaz arrived, what is it he says? He says to the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." And his workers reply to him, "The Lord bless you." Boaz's people knew that their blessing was in His presence. It's the presence of the Lord that we seek to want, not only for ourselves, but for other people. Isn't that true? Because when we know God's presence, we are his presence in this world. Isn't that what we were learning together in fruitfulness on the front line? That remember, here is Boaz. He is not a pastor working inside a church building. He is a farmer out in his field. And you know what the definition of a farmer is? The definition of a farmer is a man who is outstanding in his own field. And Boaz is that outstanding man, because with him into Ruth's situation and into the life of the whole nation, though he's not aware of it at the time, he's going to bring God's blessing and God's hope and God's peace and God's future with him. Don't your fellow workers need that from you? You who know the presence of God, become the presence of God to those that you work with, you live with, you play with, you pray with. That's what we were learning in fruitfulness on the front line. And yet the tragedy is that so many of us can end up a little bit like that boy who was building his sandcastle at the beach and filling the moat around it with bucket after bucket of seawater, and eventually said to his mum, if I keep going on like this, the ocean's going to run dry. Some of us think, you know, we keep doing this and this and this, but look, the grace of God is never going to run dry. The strength that you need to be his presence is never going to be taken from you. So wherever you go this week, what's the risk? The Lord be with you. In your farming, in your teaching, in your banking, in your search for a job, in those times that you spend in your care home or around older people in your own family, the Lord be with you. Get a sense of that. I think sometimes we just get tuned into the wrong frequency, don't we? You know, we highlight the problem and we forget the Lord. We maximize the difficulty and we minimize his presence. It's not that the Lord wants us to kind of deny the difficulty of our situation. He don't want us to do that. He don't want any of us here to begin to think, well, actually things are not as bad in my life as I might believe them to be. It's simply that he wants us to know that whatever situation you're in, however difficult it might be, however bleak the future looks, I am there with you. Because this is the pursuit of grace, and this is the presence of grace that captures the heart and the attention of Ruth. And then, of course, we've got the provision of grace as well, haven't we? Now, remember that under the law, as I told you last time, provision had to be given to those that were poor in the nation and to foreigners that came in from the outside. So those harvesting the fields could not go right up to the very edges and could not harvest the corners. So there were that which was left over for those who had particular need. Do you remember this? And of course, you only had the one sweep across the field. And if you didn't harvest it all in that one sweep, you had to leave it behind for the poor who would come. Now, that was the law. But grace goes so much further than the law, does it not? And that's the marvelous thing. So although that's what the law says, we're told in verse 8 here that Boaz gave her exclusive rights to glean in his field. He didn't have to do it. The law didn't demand it. But grace offers it. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girl. He doesn't have to guarantee her safety, does he? And yet we're told here in verse 9, I have told the men not to touch you. It's a dangerous thing for a single woman to be out there working in the fields at that time. Remember, these were the days of the judges. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. This was a dangerous thing for Ruth to do. But the Lord didn't demand that Boaz had to open up his field to her. But nonetheless, grace offered it. He doesn't have to offer Ruth water breaks either, does he? And yet we're told in the second part of verse 9, whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink. He doesn't have to invite her to sit down near him at the meal time and dip her bread in his vinegar and have her fill of roasted grain. And yet, what are we told? She ate all she wanted and had some left over. The law will go so far, up to the corners. But grace goes much further in its provision, does it not? Isn't that the kind of God that you and I know and love and serve? Remember that little boy who came up with his lunch for Jesus, 5 loaves and 2 fish? And did Jesus take it off him and eat it and say, "Now let me teach you a lesson of poverty"? No, he didn't. He took it off him and he multiplied it to make it a blessing to many. Because grace goes further. We want to come into that blessing so that we can be the means through which God can bless other people as well. Do we not? What great provision in grace there is. And you know, the marvelous thing here, and it just gets better and better and better, the marvelous thing here is found in this verse. Oh yeah, we could spend a week on this. And it's a bit like packing your suitcase to come home from holiday. You just can't get it all in. This verse is packed, but look at what it says. Boaz eventually, as the picture of God's grace in the life of Ruth, says this to his foreman and his workers: don't embarrass her with what she hasn't got. Pull out some stalks from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. Not just, you know, let her come along and sweep up behind you with what you miss, but actually deliberately go out of your way to leave some choice grain behind you for her. Do you know, I love the way that the King James puts this verse. It uses this particular phrase, handfuls of purpose. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when you think of how far grace has already gone, have a drink when you're thirsty, come and dip your bread in the vinegar, you know, stay in my field where you're going to be perfectly safe. How much further can grace go? Well, leave some good grain for her. Handfuls of purpose. Isn't that the way that God blesses us? Have you never been in a service when you came in defeated and depressed and discouraged and all you were thinking about was, oh, I just want to get to the end of it? And then suddenly God surprised you with something that went on in it and you thought, well, I'm ever so glad I went now. Have you ever done that? Well, of course, not here at Shirley Baptist, but there are places, aren't there? That's a handful of purpose. I went last week. I tell you, Kathy said, I went last week to do a weekend in the Blackdown Hills. You know, I was so kind of down when I went, so discouraged, so uncertain about what I felt I ought to share. You know, but just the comment of one person really surprised me. And it was just like a handful of purpose that God had put there to remind me that his provision of grace is more than I know I deserve, but it's one that I'm jolly glad to get. Aren't you? Sometimes God's handful of purpose will come through a kind word that somebody says. Sometimes it will come through an unexpected gift that's been given to meet a particular need that you've got. Sometimes it will come through a new friendship that you make. Sometimes it will come through a new group that you've started a fellowship with. But it's handfuls of God's purpose, and it didn't happen by chance, because God ordered it that from his workers they leave that behind. And again, you're back to your fruitfulness. Please, God, let us be a handful of purpose in my office, in my school, in my community, in my church, that people can know how good God is because of what I leave behind when I go. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. One last thing, and we'll finish here this morning. The passion of grace. Because I can't overlook this. And we mustn't overlook this. Because when Ruth comes into his field and Boaz eventually arrives, just as God planned, you know what he says? He says, whoa, get a load of her. Now, of course, that's the original Hebrew. But in our Bible, it says this: whose young woman is that? hey, this was no dating app. But Boaz looked and he saw. Do you believe in love at first sight?
Yep.
Thank you, Michael. And I love you too, okay? I do. This is love at first sight. Boaz comes, wow, not seen her before. But boy, does she ring my bell. I'm telling you. You know, and if you think that's good, you think love at first sight is good, I tell you what, when it comes to the love that God has for you, doesn't even come close. Because God loved you before anybody clapped eyes on you. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Before our bodies were formed, before there was anything about us that anybody else could love, God loved us. And he ordered the days ahead of time for us in his purposes because of the passion of his grace. He loved us. Isn't that marvelous? He loves us. And he gives his best for us because not only are we chosen in grace, we're chased by grace. And in love of Ruth, Boaz finds out all he can about her and he begins to make his plans to make her his very own. But more than that for us, in love, God has made it known that he already knows everything about us. And he knew what it would take and has already done what needed to be done to make us his own. Do you know the passion of God's grace for you? Sometimes I find it hard to even like things about myself. But God knows everything about me and he loves me. Because in his grace, he's made it possible for me to know and love him. Can I just finish with this? I was watching a film this week. Forget what it was called. It's an old film. Kathy obviously wasn't there because she didn't like me watching black and white films. But it was an old film. And in this film, there were some quarrymen who were getting ready to blast a part of the quarry. And, to pick up the fruit of that. And as they got the dynamite in place and they got everybody back to a safe distance, you know, the alarm was sounded so that everybody knew that in a few moments the explosion was going to happen. And then just as you're waiting for this explosion to happen, a little 3-year-old boy runs into the quarry and right into the very center of where the blast is about to happen. Now, it's a film and wouldn't you know it? But nothing that these men could do could entice that boy to get out of there and come to them. They were shouting at him. They were warning him. They were doing everything they possibly could. And then Mum arrives asking, have you seen my little boy? And they said, is that him? And this mum, with the sense that only a mum would have, instead of shouting at the little boy, just calls to him. And she kneels down like this. And she just puts her arms out like this, and the little boy comes running to her. Isn't that marvelous? And I thought, isn't that God? Isn't that God and the passion of his grace for us? He doesn't come into this world shouting at us, does he? He comes to pursue us, yeah, because he wants to give his best for us. He's not trying to, you know, bring us to the place where we don't want to be. He just stretches out his arms in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cruel cross. And he offers us the invitation to come running to that place where we're under his wing, we're in the place of his safety, we're guaranteed his supply, and we're satisfied in life that is both now and forevermore. Hey, isn't grace marvelous? Isn't it marvelous? And isn't it worth learning that? Grace means there's nothing to earn. You haven't got to do anything to earn God's pleasure. But please God, you can learn enough to know that you've got to come running. And when you do, I promise you, those arms stretched wide will receive you as much as they've received Anne, they've received me, and many of you here. Find your joy in God's grace because he loves you and that's his passion. You are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, there's a lot to take in and there's a lot for us to kind of pick through. But Lord, we don't want to be a people that simply are trying to spot what's been missed out. We want to be a people who are glad for what's already been put in. And so, Lord, we thank you as Ruth thanked Boaz with a humble heart and with our face to the ground that you have come and shown us your favor. We don't know why you've done it. We know that we don't deserve it. But like Ruth, again, Lord, we don't want you to take it from us now we've received it. And so I pray for anyone here, Lord, that may have grown up perhaps in a home where somebody always wanted to knock them down or pick a fault with them or highlight their lack of ability or whatever. Please, Lord, enable them now in your grace not to measure you by that standard and think that's your characteristic. Help them to know you in your grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, they can come in to the field of your grace and harvest there to your glory and to their content all that you purpose, all that you promise, all that you provide, both now and forevermore, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.